Blessed and happy is the man who does never walk astray, nor with the ungodly man stands in sinner's way. All he does prospers well, but the wicked are not so. They are just before the wind, driven to and fro. Here in quarters there he sits, for he places his delight in how his Lord meditates on it day and night. All he does prospers well, but the wicked are not so. They are just before the wind, driven to and fro. He shall be a tree that grows, planted by the riverside, which in season yields its fruit, green its leaves abide. All he does prosper well, but the wicked are not so. They are just before the wind, driven to and fro.
Yes, happy Sabbath, brethren. Thank you for the blessings you provided everyone today with your singing, the prayers, the readings, the comments. Thank you very, very much. Today, we're going to be covering an interesting topic, but before we do that, just a quick review of last week. Last week, our brother Hosaf Saul, who represents the Congregation of Elohim in Illinois, I think Elohim gave him the graciousness and the courage to take on that honor. It's really an honor. The ancients of old, the New Covenant people, they all regarded themselves as members of the body of Messiah, and gladly and honorably regarded themselves as the Congregation of Elohim, or the Adat Elohim, or the Ecclesia Theos, or the Kahal Elohim, whatever language, Iglesia Dios, whatever language a person may call them, may speak, but in their own language, they reflect the exactness of what the scriptures, of how Elohim refers to his organization that represents him on this earth. We have the kingdom of Elohim. Elohim has his kingdom over, which governs all things, good and bad. Okay, his kingdom doesn't just govern the good, it governs the entire state of affairs today. Whether it's Satan, whether it's the holy angels, whether it's the sinful people, whether it's the saints, all of that, until he returns, is under his government. But in his government, he has the righteous, and he has, or actually the saved, the righteous and the unrighteous. And the Congregation of Elohim is representative of the righteous that he is calling from the world, who will be partakers of the first resurrection, a better resurrection, because they have repented of their sins and loved Elohim and in his Son and his Spirit despite the difficulties in this life. As our brother was praying earlier to start the service, mentioning in his prayers about the evils in this world. So those of us who are of that body of Messiah, we make the effort. We repent of our sins. We cry out to him to overcome our sins, and he grants us that. And it's such an honor. So going back to Brother Hosapel, who Elohim moved his heart to take on that honor, that grace, last Sabbath he covered part one of a teaching on making decisions using lots, right? And last Sabbath he went over the Urim and and Thummim, the Urim and the Thummim, I should say, or Thummim. So, you know, how the priest received answers from Elohim using this, the ephod, the golden ephod that the breastplate and the stones. And our brother showed us that one stone was dark in the Urim, one was dark, one was white. And we would know, the priest would know if the answer was yes, if the dark stone was chosen, and if it was the light stone, then they would know, yeah, that it's a no. So he covered a lot about that, and we're looking forward to covering more, not this Sabbath, but next Sabbath, on the lots itself, or the what's called the goral, and because that's very important in how the true body of Messiah makes decisions. No one takes it upon themselves to decide in Elohim's congregation. We don't decide those things. It's either it's written in Scripture, it's either the Spirit of Elohim reveals it, and when he reveals it to his people, it's revealed to all. No one is in a mystery. And that's the testimony that he has revealed it by his Spirit, because all who are in that assembly at that time, and even sometime other places, the Spirit affects them so they know the same thing. And quickly, we see an example of such effects of the Spirit in the matter of Moses. When Moses was growing a little tired, and in Elohim's mercy, Elohim guided him to select 70 choice people that were relatively respectful. I guess the highest standing in individuals and character among them. And then Elohim took of the Spirit that was in Moses, which of course he formed in Moses, but he took of that and distributed that same Spirit. It doesn't mean his character, that's not what it means. It's the knowledge, the ability, the drive and strength and wisdom to make righteous decisions. And he distributed that same Spirit, that same pneuma, that same Ruach, on all the 70. And there were a few of them that were in their tents, even though they did not come. The effect of the Spirit took place. What was that? They all prophesied, the Scripture said, right? So we see that how the Spirit, like, so in making, when a Spirit makes a decision, that will be a testimony. Whenever the Spirit really makes a decision for the body of Messiah, the whole body knows. Will know, and that's the testimony. But when it's not clear in Scripture, and when the body and when the Spirit does not manifest what the truth is, then we need to cast the goral. The goral. So we'll learn more about that hopefully next chapter. But for today's teaching, we will be going over the sixth month. That's because per the Dead Sea Scrolls calendar, or that's verifiable in the Scriptures and in the Bible by the dates and even history before up to the destruction of the temple, the dates found in Hebraic records, they match the structure found in the Dead Sea Scroll calendar, and we went over that, so I'm not going to go over that today. So you can see here the calendar a little bit. So we already covered month 1, month 2, month 3, month 4, month 5, and now we are in month 6. And you could see how the dates relate to each other, from month to month, and how they relate, or the dynamics between the days and the weeks themselves, how they fit together like a glove, which is a interesting thing. So we're at the middle here, where it says summer, Chayitz. We knew that the first month of Chayitz, or summer, is the fourth month, and then there's the fifth month, and which was a very interesting month. As we said, it was the month what's known as the month of Av. It's the fifth month, and a lot happened. Especially judgments came upon Israel. The day of the Eternal came upon Israel twice. In the days of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, and in the days of the apostles, years after our wonderful Savior ascended, said to be about 70 AD, the day of the Eternal came upon Israel again. And since then, Israel has never been a power since then. But so we're at the 6th month today. So what are we going to find out? So a little bit about the 6th month. So the 6th month of the year is the third and last of the summer, last month of the summer season. Per the lunar calendar, which is what you're seeing on the screen, the first 6 months of the first year of the creation was on the first day of the week. By the way, brethren, this calendar is representative of what would have, how the months and days would have, weeks would have flown from the day of creation. Sounds like a big statement to make, but it's really not. There's ample facts, evidence, data in the scriptures to easily put this together. And I dare say easily. There's enough there. But today we'll focus on the 6th month. And if you notice, unlike the first, fourth, seventh, and 10th month, which all start on the which started on the first, I'm sorry, on the fourth day of the week, the 6th month begins on the first day of the week. So it's important for us to understand these dynamics, and it helps when we see certain things happen in the Bible, and when you see certain statements made and you look at the dates, you say, oh, it makes sense, because that would have been a Sabbath, and you will see that particular event, it matches that it would be on a Sabbath, or so on. So let's begin. So the first day of that year of creation, the month would have started on a first day of the week. And it's believed, and I lend to that belief too, that this is how the calendar would appear every year. But I cannot say 100% sure. I need to really, there's some things that, some questions that need to be answered before I could draw, really have faith, that accurate understanding that that's correct. So, but it's getting there. So, okay, so let's focus on our first event. So King David, we see here 1 Chronicles 27, verse 9, just a little bit. As I've mentioned a few times recently, because they only put that in my mind recently, First Chronicles 27, verses 9. Elohim put in my mind recently how he gave rest. He finally gave rest to the children of Israel since the time of Moses during the kingdom of David. It's through David, his servant, that he finally gave Israel rest. Prior to that, there was lots of wanderings about, lots of wars, lots of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, was in an open field. But through David stabilized and organized the people of Elohim, the entire tribes of Israel with Judah and the other, at least for a short while, but for quite a while for Judah. So some of the things that David did is that he did a lot of organizations. He made provisions for the temple to settle. Like, this is settling the people of Elohim as a kingdom. So he made provisions for the temple that he wasn't allowed to build because of his past. He had the Levites set in order. He organized the Gershites. He organized the Kohathites. He organized the Merathites. He set in order the divisions of Aaron, and so on. He established musicians and when and how they would function. And of course, you know, he wrote the Psalms. Some of you were reading from Psalms today. He organized these Psalms and probably more than we actually have, but we have these that are in the 66 books. Another thing that he did, which is relative to this 6 month, is as listed in 1 Chronicles 27, he has established captains of thousands and hundreds and their officers that serve the king in any matter of courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year. Of every course were 24,000. So there were 24,000 soldiers allocated to each one of these 12 captains. So we went over which captain was for the first month, the second month, third month, fourth month. We had a captain for each one. So for fifth and sixth month, but for the 6 month, First Chronicles 27 tells us the sixth captain for the 6th month was Ira, the son of Ichesh, the Tekoite, in his division. And of course, he was over 24,000. And again, each one of them served only 1 month. And as we read, and in verse 1, not listed here, as I stated, they served month and went out month by month. They went and left month by month. So they only served 1 month per year. There were only 12 of them for each year. And again, each one had 24,000 soldiers. And again, Ira, the son of Ichesh, the Tekoite, was the leader for the 6 month. Now, a little side there. Notice, brethren, that there were only 12 of them. You know, for those who believe there's a 13th month, I don't know what would happen when that 13th month comes, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm not going to go there. Because there's no provision here made for a 13th month. It's only for 12 months. So, which should make us think scripturally and stick to the scriptures about reality of what Elohim does versus what tradition does. So, just a little note. So, many years, as I've said before, after Elohim freed the Israelites from Egypt, he made David king over Israel. He organized and established them from Jerusalem of Judah. I found out that from Moses to David was about 300 years per some sources that I've used, approximately 300 years, give a year or give a hundred or more or so, you know. So let's move on to the next. But that is a very big, important thing. How much more will Elohim organize his body today? We are the living temple of Elohim. One temple, not many, but we are many stones, living stones, each of us, if we are his, to be a part of that temple. And that temple represents his body, ultimately, his body. And we are part of that. And we need to be very cohesive, work tightly together if we are going to be in obedience to the Savior. Because that, again, as I've talked many times before about the importance of unity, without that unity, we are living in disobedience to Elohim. We cannot continue or participate in what's going on in these religious groups that are just here and there scattering, each following their own way, as in the book of Judges. It's time for us to transition from Judges and be in the time of David, so to say. We need, for in every generation, there must be unity. Even in the time of Judges, if you notice, Elohim did not leave his people without help. So sorry about that. A fire truck just passed by. That was very loud. So yes, so even in the time of Judges, Elohim did not leave his people without someone, a prophet, a seer, a judge, to help them once they wanted that help. So this is this generation, and we need to make ourselves available to what Elohim wants to do for this generation. Because it's every generation he does this. Let us be the instruments of those, of Elohim, that will strengthen his body. Let's look at the next, let me see what I have here, the next event. Okay. The next event I have here is with Ezekiel. Okay, I'll read it a little bit. Oh, so again, just to be sure, so this was set for the 6th month with David as far as the captain of the guard and era, just to make sure I reemphasize. I know I said a lot. So going to the next event that happened on the 6th month, we read in Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's see how far. Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 1, I'll read. It says, "And it came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand," I believe it's the Yod, "of the Supreme, Elohim, Eternal, fell upon me there." Verse 2 says, "When I looked, there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber." Verse 3, "He stretched out the form of a hand," see the similitude of a hand, "and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy." Verse 4 through 6, "And behold, the kavod, the glory of the Elohim of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain." I believe that was by the river Kebar, maybe, when he saw the cherubim and so on. So, as he saw in the plain, so verse 5, "Then he said to me, Son of man, Ben Adam, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abomination." So, a little note, on the 5th day of the 6th month, that's like the 5th day of the week, because according to this calendar system, the 5th day would be would fall on the 5th day of a week, or what we call today Thursday, approximately. So on the 5th day of the 6th month, the hand, referencing the logos or spirit of Elohim, took Ezekiel to show him the abominable sins of the house of Israel and of Judah. What was that? Idolatry, violence, and rejection. And it says worse in that verse. I don't have it up there, but read it if you have time for yourself. And it says, and worse, the rejection of Elohim for sun worship. Then Elohim informed Ezekiel, quote, therefore I also will act in my fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear. That's Ezekiel 8 verses 18. That's the last verse of that chapter of Ezekiel 8. So this was all revealed on the sixth month. This was all revealed on the first day of the week. And he says, I will not spare. A lot happened on the first day of the week. One day we'll do a little study on biblical events occurred on the first day, but not today. So going back to this here, looking at verse 6, it says, furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abomination of the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Do you hear that? How the behavior, Elohim, his nature doesn't change. You understand? Today, the body of Messiah is scattered. And many aren't listening to Yeshua's call for the unity of the body. Okay? As I've said many times before, from generation to generation, Elohim always gathers his body, no matter what. Since some generations there are many, some generations there are few. Just how it is, because the number he is only going, like he says, many are called, few are chosen, right? So he's not looking for just to set up a group. He's looking to those who will be obedient to him. He's looking for those who want to be circumspect and serve him as he says, not as we feel like. Not our own self zeal, but the zeal of the eternal is what should drive us. And the zeal of eternal, once that's in you, because it's driven by the Spirit, never leaves. Because as long as, until Yeshua comes, we must always be busy about Elohim's business. And Elohim's business, as expressed by Paul says he doesn't fight as if one who's hitting the air. In other words, when you fight, what are you fighting? You're fighting an opponent. What do you do when someone is fighting an opponent? He or she makes sure that each blow counts, right? So likewise, we must really consider what is it we do for Elohim and make sure it counts for what's going on here, because the adversary is the darkness that we face every day. So we have to make sure that what we're doing is addressing that. We should not be like a contractor, or I should say like a homeowner who has a leaky roof, broken floors, cracked walls, broken walls, cracked windows, and decide, you know, I'm going to, you know, bring in my, you know, pretty furniture and all sorts of fancy things in the house. We're focusing on fancy things while the house is in disarray. All these things will be damaged. What does the wise homeowner need to do? Get the house in order, build it, fix the windows, then focus on the more intricate, delicate things. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Otherwise, we're not following the example of Paul, who says he does not fight as one hitting the air. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And these principalities and powers in darkness and high places are affecting the world all around us. all around us. And maybe some of us, we feel insulated by the, you know, we're apathetic to what the darkness does. But we shouldn't be that way. You know why? Because Elohim isn't that way. He's not apathetic about what's going on in the world. And we should not look to our strength and say, well, I shrug my shoulders. What can I do? That's not what can we do. It's what can he do? What can he do through us? It's our disposition, and we will see him work wonders through us as we make, as we say, Elohim, Hineni, here I am. Strengthen me so I can serve you and let your light shine in this darkness. Because if we don't care about it for ourselves, think about our loved ones. Think about, if we don't have children, think about the children of our brothers or sisters or our cousins. Think about that. Because the darkness will engulf them. Because Elohim requires each one of us who knows the truth to be ministers of the truth. And we must dispense this truth in context of what's going on around us. We can't bring flowers into a house when the roof is breaking and the floor is damaged and you know, the weather just comes in, snow, rain, whatever. So likewise, when we, what am I saying? They make me go far away. Elohim doesn't change. So why is it that the congregation, that the so-called believers, they are so powerless? It is because of this. His spirit will not dwell in what really religiosity is today, and what so-called churches, circa, are, and what so-called shulas or synagogues are. Not the way this is. What do we need to do? Now turn again. Now it says, turn again, you will see greater abominations, he said. So look around. And what do we need to do ourselves? We must repent of this way, this false way that the quote-unquote denominations have set all around us to make the body of Messiah none effect. Because in these organizations, the body of Messiah is scattered through them, and it's usually very, very late that brothers and sisters wake up and say, where am I? Why am I in this organization? It's not doing the will of Elohim. And then it takes a while for them to realize, hey, I need to find my true brethren and work with them. It takes a while. So that's why those of us who know this, let's be a light. Let's tell people. Let's unite. And I thank Elohim for Brother Hosaphel, for Brother Akosa, for Brother Phillips, and others who are doing just that. We need to work hard, brethren, and quit, but we need to work smart. And that working smart comes with unity, being like the body, being settled as the kingdom, as the Old Testament kingdom through David, 300 years after, some 300 years after Moses was settled, organized. We need to do the same for this generation. Why we? Because we know it. That's why. So, and Elohim holds us responsible for what we know. We have to do what we know. So let's read the next one. So this is from the prophet Haggai. Okay, this has to do with the building of the temple. So in the Haggai chapter 1, verses 1, and we'll read on a little bit. So in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, again, okay, so just like this was revealed to Ezekiel, the message of Elohim concerning the abominations of Judah and Israel was revealed in the sixth month. This was revealed to in the sixth month to Haggai. So in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, again, when is the first day of the week? This is the first day of the week here. First day of the week, like I said. So on the first day of the week, the word of Yud-Heh-Vav, the word of the eternal, the word of I am, or the word of he who is, came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, and let me, I might forget to say this, I'm going to say this here. Notice how Haggai does not act. I should say, notice how Elohim directs Haggai to act in a wise way. He doesn't send Haggai to just anybody. He sends Haggai to people of good standing. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah. Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So the governor and the high priest. So he's addressing people that can move things, that can get things done. So Elohim is sending Haggai to them. So he says to them, thus speaks the Eternal of Hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that for that you, the Eternal's house should be built. Then the word of the Eternal came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses? And this temple to lie in ruins? So today, well, let me read and I'll make my comments. So, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your panel houses? And this temple, his temple, to lie in ruins. Verse 5, now therefore, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, consider your ways. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Oh, our Elohim is interesting. That's humorous when I read that in a way, but it's serious. But it's so humorous how he expresses that to Haggai. So verse 7 says, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, consider your ways. Go up. Again, he says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, says the Eternal. You looked for much, but indeed it came little. When you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Eternal of Hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, verse 10, therefore the heavens above you, verse 10, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the fountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and in all the labor of your hands. Then, verse 12, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Eternal, their Elohim, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Eternal, their Elohim, had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Eternal. Then Haggai, the Eternal's messenger, spoke the Eternal's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Eternal. So the Eternal stirred up, moved, motivated up, quickened up their the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Yahushua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Eternal of Hosts, their Elohim. So verse 15 to end here. And on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius. So the message went out to Haggai on the first day of the sixth month. And them being obedient moved under the by the Spirit, by the power of Elohim, they started the work on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So the word of the Eternal directed the prophet Haggai to instruct the Yehudim to put Elohim's temple, his cause, above their own cause. He said, you know, my temple is lying in ruins, but you're minding your own affairs. You're living your own comforts. But yet you don't pay attention, though, to what's going on, how much labor you put in what you're doing, and you're just getting a little. Then he said, I'm going to send a famine, a little famine on them. And then, so Haggai declared all of this to the governor, the high priest, Zerubbabel, the governor, and the high priest, Yehoshua. And the whole remnant, and everyone was stirred, moved, and on the 24th day of the month, they started the work. And that the first of the month was the first day of the week. The 24th was on the fourth day of the week. Also another important day in Scripture. The fourth day of the week is another important day that a lot of things happen. So question, if Elohim required this for a building of stone, which he eventually had destroyed so long ago, what does he require of us today, who are supposed to be living stones of his one living temple? Collectively, that's what we are, as I said. What does he think today? You want to know? Read the letters to the seven congregations found in the book of Revelations and see if it's not the same, and even worse. You see, there's another portion of Scripture that says he would bring a famine, but not a famine of produce, but a famine of the Devar, the Word, the presence of Elohim. This is why we're so weak today, because the body of Messiah is living scattered, and no one cares. Everyone's going about their business, tending to their own business. How do you think Yeshua feels? How do we think? This is why I've said over and over, the most important course for the congregation, for the body of Messiah, for the Dot Elohim, for the Kahal Elohim, today, in this generation, is to gather the body of Messiah, all who will. We're not forcing anybody, because the body of Messiah is whosoever wills, is whosoever is obedient. It's not those who say, I'm saved and carry a gigantic Bible everywhere and, you know, saying religious things, but it's those who are living the life, who have made the sacrifice despite the hardships in life. And we have to find these people, brethren. We understand that it won't be that hard, because we're not looking for the naysayers. We're looking for those that are saying, where are my people? Where are my fellow brethren? Where's the body of Messiah? We know this, and so it behooves us to do what Elohim has granted us to know. Do you think it is in vain that his Spirit has made this known to each one of us? No, it's not. He makes it known to us, and he puts us in such a place in this United States, which he, in his orchestration, has allowed to be so that the word of Elohim can function so freely. But yet, many of us are tending to our own things. Let's not do that. Let's see Messiah weeping over Jerusalem. Let's hear his word coming from the angel into John, say, write this to the seven angels of the congregations. Do we hear him? So what he wrote, what he to the angel that, to the seven churches applies to us and to all congregations for all generations. If we do right, then we know he thinks right of us. Right now, the congregation of Elohim is not you and me alone. It's a collective body. And we are accomplished very little like this because everyone's about their own ministry or about their own this. All of this is not of Elohim. No one, there's nothing in the scriptures that shows us people had their own ministry. We saw people had one ministry with different aspects, yes, but they were all interconnected with each other and supported each other in whatever each other was doing. They were never just about busy doing this and busy doing their own little isolated thing to no effect. Imagine, as I was saying to my daughter today, earlier today, I've said this before, but I was saying this to her, look how the world knows how to unite for an evil cause that will not even stand in long time. But they know how to put it in effect. They know how to take something that does not work because they love it so much. They put it together. And of course it falls apart in the harm. Yes, it's true. But the key is they know to get together to do what they need to do. But the body of Messiah, today at least, the one in this generation, doesn't know this. We need to fix that because we know better, brethren. Let's move on. So this happened. The message came to Haggai on the first of the 6 months, and the effects started on the 24th of the 6 month, on the middle of the week, the fourth day. And let's see if there's anything. And what am I saying? This is if I need to. And yeah, one more thing. Notice, brethren, how many leaders did it take to do this with Elohim's spirit? Do we have his spirit? Let's honor that spirit. Let's not be afraid. Let's not shrug the shoulders. Let's not be deceived by our past or the past of others. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we can look at our past and look at all the efforts we've put in to no avail. Do you know why I fail? Because we weren't doing it Elohim's way. He's not going to compromise his way for our way. If we were doing it the way of the denominations and all these things and all these ministries that are divided, Elohim's not going to honor that. And look, he hasn't. Look at the works of his hand. You could see he hasn't. Look at the gross darkness. If Paul was here, he would have gone to each so-called congregation. How have you allowed this to happen? As he did before his discourse on Mars Hill. He went to the leaders and said, how come there's all this idolatry here? Because he was, huh? What's going on here? Paul would have, what is this? What are you doing? What are you doing? Nope. We need to be true and watch Elohim bless our work if we do it his way. Build that temple. The body of Messiah. Okay, so let's move. And and as I said, it didn't take many. It was just Haggai the prophet, Zerubbabel the governor, and Joshua the high priest. We're none of these. But Elohim can work through us still. One of the congregations, one of the seven congregations in the book of Revelations, he said, you have little strength. Right? But Elohim was with them, whatever, and Elohim preserved them. And in that preservation, because they were few in their locale, there aren't many who wanted to be a part of the true body of Messiah. So they were, Elohim's spirit was a tabernacle around them, and the blessings flowed among them. Because they, as little as they were, they did what they were supposed to do. But their environment, the people around them, were not receptive. That's their affair. But once we do what we're supposed to do, the blessings will not trickle in. The blessings will be abundant. We will see the power of Elohim work for us. Brethren, I tell you, if when we do the work that we talked about last week, when we do it, and when it's done, if there's just us here, or even less, I am certain, and I assure you, Elohim's power will work in your lives, in my life, in our lives, because we've done his will, even though no one else listens. And the power of Elohim will work, and we can have testimonies, not just words, of the power of the Spirit working. I'm not afraid to say this. I am confident of this, because I have experienced this in my life personally. That's why I'm not afraid to say it. And I know Elohim is not a respecter of persons, that what he does for one, he will do for all who love him and obey him and manifest their love through obedience. Let's end with this last portion. Yesterday, as I was putting this together, I rejoiced when I saw this. I had forgotten about this. And I put a title for this one, The Perfect Birth, The Immaculate Birth of the Son of Elohim, announced to Maria by the Archangel Gabriel, as recorded for us in the book of Luke. I didn't like the whole thing. It's beautiful. When from time to time, read it and give thanks. So it said, I just have the two verses here, I believe. Let's see. I have a few. Good. I thought I only put two. So I'll read it, and then I'll comment, and then we'll close and end. So, excuse me. And the immaculate, the perfect birth of the Son of Elohim announced to Maria, by the Archangel Gabriel. Luke 1:26 says, Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by Theos, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Look at where he chose. If you know the history of Galilee, you will rejoice. You will understand. Know the biblical history of Galilee, how it started. Hiram, during the time of the building of the temple, and how that area was full of Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles living together. Hated by probably the religious society, but it represented what was in Elohim's mind. And look at where this announcement is made. So was sent by Theos to a city of Galilee named now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by Elohim to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Yosef, of the house of the Beit David, the house of the beloved, house of David. The virgin's name was Maria, or Mariam, or commonly Mary today. So, verse 28 and on. And having come in, the angel said to Malach, the angel, the divine being, messenger said to her, Rejoice highly, favored one. The Supreme is with you. The Sovereign, the Kurios is with you. Blessed are you among women. Oh, what a salutation. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. This was. She did not mind hind things. Her humble heart was in place. Verse 30. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mariam, for you have found favor with Theos. You have found favor with Elohim. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus here in the Greek transliteration. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Ben Elyon. And the Supreme Theos, the Supreme Elohim, will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. what happened to the kingdom of his, of the human David. But there will be no end through this son, through this Shiloh who would come, through this one to whom it belongs who would come. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, then Maria said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Since, you know, she's a virgin, she's never engaged anything. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit, Hageos Numa, will come, Ruach HaKodesh, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Hagios, translated here as that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of Theon, or the Son of Elohim, Ben Elohim, Ben Eloha. Verse 36, to conclude that scripture reading. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, have also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren. Okay, so we could know a lot, but we're not dealing with the counter here because we know he came in the 6th month. And the angel came on the 6th month, and it is 6 months later. And it's now, this 6 month is the 6 month since John was conceived. So that tells us what, when John was conceived. Okay, I could say roughly John was conceived about the 1st month. Okay, 6 months prior. Okay, so this is how it's good to focus on these things. So let's summarize this. So per this account, the birth of the Supreme, the Kurios, the Sovereign, was announced sometime in the 6th month. Though not certain, it is possible that the Immaculate Conception, the virgin birth, occurred in that month. If so, 9 months later, the Supreme, the Master, would have been born between the 3rd month in the spring or the 4th month. You know, if it's a 9 month or 10th month, I don't know exactly how many months later he was born, but normally it's 9 months, if I understand. I'm not a woman. My daughter is shaking her head saying yes. So our Savior's birth is awe-inspiring and worthy to be celebrated. It is. If it is good to celebrate Purim and Hanukkah, which are not commanded feasts, how much more so the virgin and momentous birth and first event of the Kurios of the Sovereign Yeshua via virgin. Let us be wise and consider these things. Okay, now let me just say this. I'm not even far from celebrating Christmas. That's not what I'm talking about. No. See, lies come in after the truth. Lies don't come in before the truth. That's error. Much of the religious society, Protestant belief, kind of believe that somehow, you know, first come the lies and the truth. Far from it. No. By this testimony of the scripture, the truth comes first, then the deception comes. This is the way Elohim sets it up for those who are righteous, because those who are righteous recognize his voice when we hear it. And when we hear another voice, we don't follow it, because we knew his voice when we hear it. But the unrighteous, they gravitate to what is false, unfortunately. But remember, it is the first voice. And even so, commonly in this society, it was like, when you don't know something, follow your first inclination. I'm sure you've heard that book before. It is because it is so. For our Elohim is so gracious, he even helps the sinner sometimes in a matter of a good thing. He has mercy, but they don't recognize him. Where does that voice, that inclination, is it from them? Do they have food? No, it's from Elohim. Elohim's guidance, his spirit is everywhere. He has shed his spirit abroad everywhere. Who is listening? Who will heed the call of the spirit? The few who do, generation after generation, are the ones who will participate in that wonderful first resurrection. So I'm not saying we should celebrate Christmas at all, but I'm just saying his birth and everything concerning Messiah is worth celebrating. is worth celebrating. So let's end here, because it's the time's passing. Let me conclude. So summary, important biblical events occurred on the sixth month, which is the last month of summer. First, we learn that David selected Ira to be the sixth captain to serve on the sixth month as captain of the guard. Next, we read that on the fifth day of the sixth month, the hand of the Eternal revealed to the prophet Ezekiel the abominable sins of the house of Israel and Judah, as well as the punishment they would suffer. And so how important it is for us to be aware of what's going on and to make sure things are done correctly, that we're being the light that we need to be. We consider the account of the word of the Eternal directing the prophet Haggai on the first day of the sixth month to tell the people to prioritize the temple's repairs and how they were, and rather than focusing on just their own personal affairs, and how they were moved, stirred by Elohim to start the repairs on the 24th day of the sixth month, which is the fourth day of the week. Lastly, and most importantly, we saw that the birth, the great birth of Yeshua, the Savior, the one who created the heaven and the earth, came into this world. How he came into this world, this announcement was given to Maria, was announced to the Virgin Maria on the sixth month. So may we appreciate and keep the insights gained from these important biblical events, which occurred on the sixth month. So thank you very much, brethren, for listening. If there's time, I will take any comments you have, you want to share with the brethren. Thank you. Back to you, Brother Felix. The recording will